All right. Good morning, everybody. Okay. Now, we're going to kickstart a series called Seated Together with the Holy Spirit. Every year, we create a series where we wanted to bring about the importance of not living life without the Holy Spirit. We wanted to, and when I say that, I know there's a spectrum of thinking. Some of you think about your hand must shake. For you, that's the moment you felt Holy Spirit with you. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not as mystical as you think. Some of you think about laughing, and you equate that at when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Some of you think of only as tongues, prophetic. But way more than that, Holy Spirit doesn't just confine itself in certain expression. It goes way more, okay? So we create a series every year to help every one of us to desire for greater Holy Spirit activities in your life, that you will really partner with the Holy Spirit in everything that they do, the way you do your marriage, the way you do your parenting, the way you go to work, the day when you are out of work, the way you serve the church, the way you are considering to serve the church, the way you witness to a friend, it really trying to bring about the fullness of Holy Spirit in part of our life, okay? I want to begin by showing you Ephesians 5 while the slide is being sorted out. Ephesians 5 has a little bit of a background, okay? So the anchoring verse for this series is actually, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5. And in that anchoring verse, there are two lenses to look at the book of Ephesians. First of all, if you were to look at it from a biblical point of view, the book of Ephesians was a very interesting book. You know why? Because chapter 1 to chapter 3 tells us a little bit about the impact of salvation in every one of our lives. So, in this series with the Holy Spirit, what we wanted to do was, we want to create four different verbs so that you build your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the first one is thirst. So, I'm going to kind of land you at that spot at the end of the message. But really, the key verse that kind of anchored the entire series is Ephesians 5, just as I mentioned. Ephesians, if you look at it from a biblical point of view, Ephesians 1 to 3 talks about the depth, the width, the breadth of salvation. It really helps us to understand conceptually what does salvation really means, okay? And then Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. So one talk about what is salvation. The other one talk about how to walk out that salvation, how you're going to implement it in your life. So when Ephesians 5, Paul was laboriously helping everybody to understand, because of what God has done, this is the way you're going to live your life. If you look at it from the book of Ephesians, from the city of Ephesus' point of view, the city of Ephesus is very much like our city, very commercial, very pluralistic in its race. I'm sure there's a lot of racial tension, there's a lot of political tension. In the midst of a very diversified kind of a pressure-filled society, Paul was telling them, this is the way you and I should live our life, okay? So now, with that two background, let's going to read Ephesians 5, 15 to 21, okay? Now, let me do this, okay? Verse 15 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise. And you find that Paul was trying to do a little bit of contrast, because he tell you three nots and he tell you three do's, three don'ts and three do's, okay? So he says, do not be unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because, say that together, the days are evil. Now, so Paul had his own package of framing up what the days are evil looked like in Ephesus during those times. Then he says, therefore, he gives you the second do not. He says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Then he gives you the three do not. He can kind of give you a little bit of contrast, okay? He says, do not get drunk with wine, for this is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And then addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Now, how many of you know that one of the signs is being filled with the Spirit is when you talk to your spouse, you are making psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. How many of you, when you talk to your spouse, it sounded something like that? I guess most of us are not too filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? Or we did not invite Holy Spirit to that compartment of our life, so to speak. But he talks about if you are filled with the Spirit, he says, he gave you four different visibilities. He says, first of all, you address one another in psalms and hymns. And I think he used it really in a way that you will be more encouraging towards one another. Then he says, you will make melody to the Lord with all your heart. Okay, giving thanks always. You know, it's one thing to give thanks. It's another to give thanks always. And then he says to the Lord, and for everything. So it's one thing to give thanks. It's another thing to give thanks always. It's one thing to give thanks something to the Lord. It's another to give everything. Give thanks in everything to the Lord. And then he continues to say that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, what does that mean? The next couple of verses in the book of Ephesians, it tells us, he says, husband, this is the way you treat your wife. Wife, this is the way you treat your husband. And then he went to the children, this is the way you want to honor your parents. Parents, this is the way you honor your children. And then he went to the master and slave. He said, master, this is the way you want to treat your slave. And slave, this is the way you want to treat your... And then he began to talk about all that. Basically, Paul was trying to help every one of us to land at a certain spot. He says, because the days that we live is evil or it's a difficult days ahead, he says, the only way for you to be triumphant over the days is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I kind of concluded that really being filled with the Spirit always or having the Holy Spirit with us always is really the secret sauce of Christianity. So you would not want to live your life without the involvement of the Holy Spirit. So for the next 4 weekends, we're going to help you to grow your relationship with the Holy Spirit. We begin with thirst. And then what does it mean to walk with the Holy Spirit? And then what does it mean when the Bible says, anoint me with the Holy Spirit? And then what does it mean when we say, pray in the Spirit? So we're going to walk through 4 different verbs, which is thirst, walk, anoint, and pray. All right? So kind of walk you through so that you ended this series by really hungering and desiring for more of Holy Spirit in our life. Now, I want to begin by just capturing the word evil days. If you kind of look at the word evil, or because the days are evil, that's what the Bible says, the word evil has kind of a 4 different shades of meaning. So if you just kind of look through the Greek word, first of all, it has the meaning of being pressed and harassed. I'm not sure about you, but if there is any time, I think, in the days that we're living in where this 2 little words is meaningful, I think it could be our days. I've never seen before so many people struggle with their mental health. You got the children package, you got the adult package, you got a campus, you got the old people package. You're just different generation. Everybody seems to fight this mental health very real. Ever since we started Erony, when we first started, by the way, Erony, it's our professional counseling arm, therapies, all ran by professionals who avail themselves to serve the community at a very affordable, almost like a love gift rate, just to be able, and support huge by the church. Ever since we started, when we started doing MCO, or just prior before MCO, we have about, it started with about 20 cases or 20 sessions, 30 sessions a month. Now we are hitting 100 over sessions a month. You can see that it keep on increases. When I think about we live in a place where we are pressed and harassed, sometimes it is not just evil expression. Sometimes it's just the days that we're living in. How many times as a pastor you meet people who go through life at some of the most horrified situation? You meet potentially a child that lost the parents when they were young. You meet a child that mom and dad divorce and they stay all by themselves and they with their uncles and hard pressed. And I will never forget, I think one of the person that I led to Christ, and I was really hoping for potentially this Christmas I can feature that particular story of a 20-year-old young man, 20-plus young man who the father died when the father was about 40-plus years old and he was still a less than 20-year-old boy. He talked about how the dad will always drink himself and never saw the dad once ever drink water, just always alcohol. And at the age of 40 plus, he passed away and he was the one that was asked to go and recognize the dad's body and everything. And he was just a young boy. What happened to the mom? The mom actually went insane and it was literally someone who walked the street, slept by the cupboard, and everybody called her Xiao Zha Bo. known in that area. And he has to navigate that with the dad that passed away and the mom that that actually was labeled as insane. To top everything. So his life can be very, very little meaning. And he described a couple of years ago how one day he came back home and saw the elder sister who hung herself and died. And, you know, with such a package of life. And when I met up with him, he told me, "Pastor, life is very little meaning to me. I'm just here because I've got younger sister that I need to take care of. And life means very little." And you hear stories like that. And potentially this is one most gripping because of the package of what he has to navigate at that age. And of course, because of God that came into his life, he has changed him dramatically. He talked about how, in one of the messages, when I talk about how God can repair a relationship between a children and a parent, and he talked about he went around looking for mom just to take her out for a meal and to see how to bridge into her world. I mean, that is the world that we're living in. So some of you, you are very blessed. Some of you, you're going to have friends that you know are navigating life at some of the toughest. So we live in a days where it is not just crime that happened, but we are pressed every capacity, and you have your own package. You have your own story to tell. Marked by pains and trouble, you got people who are sick. I cannot explain why someone would have cancer when I can't. It's just real. But that's the reality of the days we're living in. Some of us physically bad condition. That means we struggle with illnesses. We struggle with our own impairment that happens to our body, and ethically evil. We see that all the time. We see from a governmental area to district area to school level to household. I mean, so Paul was trying to tell us, he says, these are the days that you and I are living in. And he tells us, however, if you are filled with the Spirit, then he talks about what I call, you can live wisely. You can live knowing God's will, but the key is you must live with the Holy Spirit. Now, I hope I kind of lead you to that spot. So I call this the secret of living wisely and doing God's will is to live a Spirit-filled life. It's to help all of us to kind of check the pulse of how you and I live your life and wonder how much is Holy Spirit with me. You know, all of us live life with a certain philosophy. Some of you live life with a certain philosophical thought. Some of you live life with certain values. Some of you live life, navigate your life with certain desire. How much room do you and I actually have for the Holy Spirit? How much room do you have for the way you do parenting with the Holy Spirit, the way you approach your business, the way you navigate your bosses, the way you have to work with your neighbor, your taman, your in-laws? And how many of us really invite the Holy Spirit into the space so that we can live doing the will of God? All right, so Paul clearly says a Spirit-filled life is the secret sauce of every one of us. Now, when I look through a different example of a life filled with the Spirit, and I went all the way to Old Testament, and actually there's plenty of that. I just pick out some of them. You will find that it involves every area of life. So Joseph was an example of someone who is in prison, but filled with the Spirit, interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and eventually he was set free. Exodus talk about those people, those tailors who made the priesthood costume. The Bible says God's Spirit was upon them so that they are so skilled in making the kind of garment that really pleases God. Think about it. Even, the other day I was talking with a group of leaders in our church, and we were talking about what is your greatest fear in life. And I told them my greatest fear is to be able to do things well, thinking is well, without the Holy Spirit. That's my greatest fear. That you are able to lead, you're able to give a speech, you're able to talk, you're able to do everything, but without the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest fear. Without the dependence upon God. So Exodus 31 talk about they have ability, intelligence, knowledge, and craftsmanship because God filled them with the Holy Spirit. Numbers and Joshua's leadership, David's leadership. Micah was a prophet who, the Bible says, filled with the Spirit, had the boldness to declare to the entire nation of Israel that you have sinned against God. That kind of boldness. Zechariah prophesied. Peter had the boldness to declare. But what intrigued me was, even in the whole smack of everything, I think we missed a verse where it talks about, I think in Luke, that's right. Sorry, there was one. I think they missed out. Where it talks about Jesus filled with the Spirit and he triumphed over the temptation of 40 days in the wilderness, filled with the Spirit. Acts 7 talks about Stephen who went through martyrdom. The Bible says he was full of the Holy Spirit, gazing into heaven as he was being martyred, the first martyr in the Bible. So when you think through all of that, you realize the way Holy Spirit functioned wasn't just within these four walls, wasn't just in the way certain time you felt Holy Spirit was upon me, was actually every day. Was just the way you drive, the way you talk, the way you depend on Him, the way you pray, cast out demons, the way you declare boldness, weakness, and even to the spot of having the Spirit with you as you are being martyred. That's the story of Stephen. So when you think through this Holy Spirit, you then will have to land on this verse, because this is the best verse to explain the way God has meant it to be. So when Jesus was about to leave the earth, he gathered the disciples. And in John 14, he says, I'll ask the Father and he will give you, everybody say what? Another helper. Okay, now you know the word. The word another simply means it's just someone exactly the same, but in different form. So Jesus was with the disciple for 3.5 years. He did the miracles. Their life was so full of excitement. And now he says he's going to go. But he says, don't worry. He says, I'll give you another. Another means same but different form. And he was wanting to help the disciples understand that I am going to bring the Holy Spirit, because if I don't go, he will not come. So he went so the Holy Spirit can be the another. Now, but the word helper, which is parakleto in the Greek word, it's a bit hard to explain. You know why? Because it's a word that there's no English word can substitute. So some versions say another comforter, some versions say another helper. And I know for Malaysian contact helper, we think about maid, right? Someone that we just say, okay, clean the toilet, you know what I'm saying? Okay, they kind of, okay. But some versions say advocator, you know, comforter. So there are different terminology or English word trying to describe the word helper, but it's hard. You know why? Because the word another helper simply means someone that come alongside in your life for everything that you got to go through. So God has designed that life, the life, the Christian life that we are to live, is not just by our own strength. So God is not up there in heaven telling us, okay, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. And then we strive like crazy. No, he says that, I says, I'm in you, Holy Spirit, I'm in you. Old Testament with you, now in you, so that I help you to carry out the things that God wants you to do. So the relationship with Holy Spirit becomes very critical. You know, about 8 years ago, when my daughter was about 7 years old, our family took a trip and we were in Pulau Perhentian. And, you know, and we went for snorkeling. And I will never forget my daughter at 7 years old. So we were very worried about her because we went to the open sea, you know, and able to see shark and I think Godzilla. I'm just kidding, okay? It didn't show up, okay? Anyway, but when we were there, the moment my daughter jumped in, she was very bold. She was 7 years old. She was drinking, you know, like, but you know what? Throughout the entire, whatever you call it, adventure, you know, the instructor was with her. And I know that she's in safe hand because the instructor was the one that watched out for her. So she enjoyed the entire thing. Now, God wants us to live life with the Holy Spirit, the one that come alongside, help us in every capacity. And then he says, he's a Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, so every way you are going to live your life in the days that we're living in, if you want to be triumphant, if you are having depression, if you are having physical impairment, if you are having attitude problem, if you are having addiction to porn, to jealousy, whatever, it doesn't matter. Would you live with the Holy Spirit? Because it is that, the secret sauce helping us to learn how to be triumphant and work through and allow God to penetrate and invade our life. All right, now, the starting point is, come on, say together, is what? Thirst. Turn to your neighbor and say, thirst, okay? The longing, the desire. The word thirst in the book of John, chapter 7, potentially is the best verse to bring out when Jesus helped modern days today to understand what it means to thirst. So, this is what the Bible says on the last day of the feast and great day. Now, so you must understand, there are all together about 7 feasts in Israel, but 3 of them are very key. The rest of them was kind of come together, overspread over the 3 feasts. So, it's called the Passover, Pentecost, and also Tabernacle. Passover, April, typically, that's why we celebrate Easter. And then Pentecost is about May, which is about 40 days, 50 days after that. And then you got September or so, which is the Tabernacle. The Feast of Tabernacle, what they do was, it's called the Feast of Tabernacle because everybody will take their tent out and they will tabernacle in a huge compound. So people will literally live with tents for 7 days. It's called the Tabernacle, Feast of Tabernacle. It's also some people call it the Feast of Booth because of the place where they stay. And what happened was, every day the high priest will take out a jug of water and go to the altar and pour so that the water overflows. It's to remind the nation of Israel, when you were 40 days of wilderness, you live in 10. And every time when you ran out of water, which is a big theme in the Bible, and I have no time to walk you through from Genesis to Revelation, up to Revelation 21, 22, Jesus said the same thing. He says, if you're thirsty, come to me and get this water, which is free. So the theme of water is big throughout the Bible. But here it is, in the wilderness for 40 years, whenever they lack of water, God always supplied water. Remember when they came out from Israel, they went to a place called Marah, where the water is bitter. And God healed the water so it becomes sweet. And the nation of Israel went through wilderness for 40 years and without water. And then there was a rock where they hit the rock, Moses, and water gushed out. Remember that? And Paul in Corinthians concluded that water is like Christ following them throughout their 40 years of wilderness. So the theme of water is big. So you must understand, in that Feast of Tabernacle, everybody camping, pouring that water, and on the last day, the 7th day, the priest will come and do it 7 times because to celebrate the completion of the 7 days. Now, so on the last day of the feast, so when the high priest was doing all that, Jesus stood up and cried out with a loud voice. And then this is what he says. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, scripture has said, out of this heart will flow rivers of living water. Can you imagine? Jesus did not just tell you to thirst. He says that if you were to thirst, you drink. He says, out of you will flow rivers of living water. Now, I'm not sure how many of you wants your life to flow out rivers of living water. But you kind of know when someone flows out living water, as you kind of talk to them, you drink some encouragement, you drink some hope, you drink some righteousness, you drink some thought about changes, and because that person has drink from God. So I want to bring out that this whole thing about thirst is very unique because every one of us at different juncture of our time experience thirst very differently. Which really reminds me of a story that I want to tell. And I potentially have shared this before, but a lot of you may not have heard this. But many years ago, there was one particular businessman who actually was an overseas, but really a Malaysian businessman. And the phone call came one day by one of our church general managers. He says that, Pastor, I've got this friend of mine. He used to be my big boss, and he really wanted to have a conversation with the pastor. So I remember when I met up with him, this is what he says. He tells me, he says, Pastor, first of all, he is very rich. And he told me this. He says, Pastor, I am wanting to know more about God is because I have no needs in my life. Everything is well. I'm healthy. My wife is healthy. My children is healthy. And then he tell me up front, he says, actually, I'm also quite well-to-do. I don't need to work for the rest of my life. Neither does my kids need to work for the rest of their life. You know, I have the kind of a wealth. How I wish that moment he'll adopt me to be his child, okay? But he can't because I'm older than him. Anyway, so what happened was, he tell me all of that to let me know that I'm interested in God, not because I need anything from God. But he says, I'm intrigued by, in fact, he said that I've done so much things of the natural, I really want to know, is there a supernatural element of about life? So he says, I went to the monk because I wanted to understand Buddhism. I went to a Japanese priest because I wanted to understand the Japanese, you know. So he said, I didn't go for Ustad to, you know, he said, I didn't go. But he said, so when it comes to Christianity, I was looking for a pastor. He was someone like that. He will go to the right source to get the right information. So then his friend, who also quite newly saved, actually introduced him to me. And I'll never forget, I had a couple of months of meeting up with him, do comparative religion, he asked me. So the monk said this, what would you say? Then I'll tell him, well, the Bible tells us it's very good. You know, then we had that little. So one day I invited him to church. So for someone who had never come to church, he came. It was very interesting and intriguing because, you know, there are people that's well-to-do. First of all, they don't bother. They both have one. So he comes into the church. He sits behind me throughout the worship. He walk around. He look at people, take picture, take down notes. You know, like a reporter. Never been to church, right? So, by the way, if you're first time in church, please don't do that. Okay, yeah. Toilet is there. You can go there. Okay, anyway. So he was walking around. So he saw, I was kind of worshipping, but I kind of looking because he was sitting behind me. I was like, oh no, he's walking again. Oh no, you know, I'm thinking in my mind, okay. So somewhere along the journey, after the whole service, you know, I went to him and said, hey, how was the service? And I said, I'll never forget. He says, Pastor, your speech was not bad. I said, okay, can. Speech, okay, can. But the best part was this. He says, you know, when you were singing karaoke, that was the best part, okay? The karaoke, I said, okay, can. You know, and then he was thinking, well, how come some people, their hands is on the pocket, some people looking at their phone, and some people are really into it. He says, why so many different expressions, okay? So I was trying to mumble, fumble, kind of explain all of that, you know, and then he says, Pastor, great, I'll come back again, you know, when I'm back. As he walked towards his car, just about, and he opened the door, he then turns back and says, oh, Pastor, I know what I'm looking for. And that kind of really caught my attention because this is someone who never been to church, first time. And somewhere in the journey, he knew what he was looking for. Can I rephrase it? He knew what he was thirsty for at that moment. And then he said this to me. He says, Pastor, just now, you know, back to the karaoke. He says, when you're doing the karaoke, he says, three seats away, there was a lady and she was lifting up her hand, she was crying. She was like she faked it, like it's so real, you know. She said, this person is really into it. And then he says, when I think through every picture of mine, I don't have that picture. I don't have that. And then he looked to me, he says, I want that. Tell me how to get that. You know, it was funny. Sometimes in life, you hit a moment in your life where you begin to thirst for something. For him, was that picture. And then he went on to describe. He says, one of my friend passed away, one of my very good friend. And Pastor, you know, I didn't even cry. He says, I don't know how to cry anymore. He says, my heart is so hardened. It is right at that moment. He found the spot of thirst. You know, Jesus said, if you are thirsty, he never said, if you are this kind of thirst. And some of you, you may find your thirst when one day one of your children come to you and say, Dad, why are you so angry all the time? Maybe you walked away. Wow, yala. Why am I so angry all the time? Maybe that's a moment of thirst. Maybe one day your wife came to me and say, you are very difficult to live with. Please don't turn your husband and say that right now, okay? And then you kind of walked away and say, yeah, why? And then a moment of thirst. Maybe one day you go and buy your chicken rice and the chicken rice owner gave you extra 1 ringgit and you know it and you refuse to give it back. You quickly put inside your bag, you're so happy driving away, I got extra 1 ringgit back today. And then that moment it dawned upon you, why am I so greedy? And then it rests as a moment of thirst. Maybe there's one night you could not sleep. And you're full of jealousy because one of your competitors did so well. And the whole night you thought about that, you beta han, you betong. And that is the moment you realize, why am I like that? I don't know how the thirst part can connect with the Holy Spirit. But I know if you, every one of you, would have this little desire, says God, I am thirsty for this. Maybe some of you, every night, you're addicted to porn. And you cannot get rid of it. One day, you're so sick of it. It says, God, I need you. I'm thirsty to have a breakthrough in this area. And that's how I want to introduce a series. I want to bring all of you to find your place and expression of thirst. Because it looks differently to every one of us. For that man, well, God, I need something that can melt my hardened heart. And you know what? What is true? 3 months, 6 months down the road, in one of the services, after the service, he came to me. He just gave me a hug. He says, Pastor, thank you for introducing Jesus to my life. Because today, God melted my heart. I cry as I worship God. And He invaded and changed my world. So I want you to know, the first step to really wanting to say, God, give me more Holy Spirit, it's not an intellectual pursuit. It is really that something struck in the heart of yours. And then you open up your heart and says, God, would you come and invade my world? And His promise is, out of you will flow rivers of living water. And that expresses out in the way you live, in the way you give, in the way you serve, in the way you love, in the way you are gracious. Out of that, it will flow. John 4, we have a picture of the Samaritan woman. And you know the story. Her moment of thirst was because she had four marriages all failed, and the fifth one wasn't even her husband. So she went to the well. Jesus met her at the well. And Jesus said that if you were to drink the water that I'm going to give, not this well, He says, you will never thirst again. And this water that you drink will become a spring of water. And you know the story, right? The Samaritan woman said yes to God, went back, and she became such a living stream of water, like a fountain. She went to the entire city and says, would you come and meet this guy, this dude or whatever, this Messiah that who tells me of my past and now gave me a brand new future? And the whole city came because it's a well of spring water. You know, I want to end by sharing with you, and I got the permission from this couple to share their story. So this couple is very new to our church, a couple of months. Long story short was, they've been away from God for quite a good season, years. When they walked in our church and eventually kind of encountered God, just as they regularly, they begin to tell me, Pastor, we really like the church. The church has changed our life. And the reason I had a dinner with them, and I really want to thank them, the dinner was because I saw the changes in their life. They begin to jump in. They say that, you know, Pastor, we are here to serve. Tell us what to do. And I say, hey, you know what? Kids just needs this. And then they jump in and they help that. And then we're going to start a Saturday service. They say, Pastor, why don't I help this as well? And then we try to serve the community. They say, why don't we help that as well? So they are just being available all the time and says, Pastor, let us do this. Not only that, they also invited friends for discovering God. And they'll tell me, Pastor, I'm going to bring a friend, you know, and say hi to them. And I can see the little changes. So when I kind of sat down with them a couple of, maybe a week ago or 1 week plus ago for dinner, and then they began to tell me a little bit of their story. And that this one part which really was so encouraging for me. So they told me the story of one of them when they were young, since 6 years old to about 15, will always have almost the same nightmare consistently, once every 2 months, once every month. And it's always a dream of like a joker. It's always the same dream, a nightmare. After that, sometimes sleepwalk. And for a period of time, it was struck with fear. Do not dare to sleep alone, because the moment you enter into a mode of a nightmare, you wake up as shivering and cold sweat, and it was just very real. So we began to pray for them. I think prayer team, ourselves, you know, pray with them. And so the other day, the dinner, he says, Pastor, you know what? I had a dream that day. And he says, in that dream, it was a demonic dream. But I says, Pastor, for the first time, 20 over years of my life, for the first time, in the dream, I said, with the authority of God, I command you in Jesus' name, get out in the dream. And when he said that, he says, the demon, he woke up. And he says, in the dream, he triumphant. He woke up. He says, Pastor, all this while when I wake up, cold sweat, and for the rest of the night, I cannot sleep because I was struck with fear. He says, for the first time, I went back to sleep and I was fully at peace. I thought about, for him, that was the thirst. And when the Spirit of God invades into his world, it changes. For the first time, he says, I'm no longer fearful, not struck by that. I was triumphant. Of course, I have that little funny part. I asked him, so long never been to church. I said, so how did you learn how to say in the name of Jesus with authority? I said, who taught you that? So I was hoping that he would say, oh, Pastor, one of your message, you know. He said, no, actually, I learned it from Hollywood movie. Some of the Exorcist movie that I watched, you know. I said, sure, man. I thought they used holy water, they used cross, you know. Anyway, it was so funny. My point is, okay, God meant every one of us to be a spring of living water. But where's your thirst? See, if your thirst is at greed, if your thirst is at addiction at porn, if your thirst is at addiction for power, if your thirst is addiction of jail, whatever it is, God can turn it around and become a spring of living water. And you're going to see that God with you. I can be wise. I can live to do the will of God, influenced by the Holy Spirit. Can I go to amen? Why don't we stand? We're going to come to the communion table, and then we're going to do dialogue. I think Pastor Agape is supposedly to be with me. Is she here? I hope she's here somewhere, okay? This is how we're going to do it, okay? This is both the body and the blood of Christ represented in bread and cup. We are grateful for the things that God has done for us, the forgiveness of sin. But don't stop short at that. I want us to come to God and say, God, I have a place of thirst. It's my character. It's my marriage. It's my thinking. It's my greed. Whatever it is, God, create a thirst in me so that I go to you and you, that I can drink from you so that it flows rivers of living water out of my life. I'm going to pray. We're going to tell this. God, that's our prayer with the Holy Spirit invading our world, no matter how broken it is, and turn it around to be rivers of living water. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's take a break. Let's take the cup. I want you to lift up your hand, right, and pray this simple. Say, dear God, I welcome the Holy Spirit in the area that needed you the most. Teach me to be thirsty again so that I can drink. And out of me, rivers of living water will flow to everyone else. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you.